we must recognize that this thing we call bigotry or hate does stand astride our national horizon. I was appalled on this trip to note the intensity of feelings among various groups, racial, religious, and economic, throughout the Middle East, who stood opposed on various matters. The only point I'm trying to make here is that if we make bigotry a sectional affair, we minimize its dangers to us all, for it is a canker in the body politic of our country and certainly a canker in the human race itself throughout the world. Another perhaps defensive point, though I don't mean it that way either, I only wish that people, when they're trying to make history, would read history a little more closely. It's this, that historically, Southerners do not take kindly to outside pressures because of memories, frequently exaggerated memories, of a not too distant past, which has resulted in an almost psychopathic mistrust of what is called the outsider, particularly the official outsider who would cure our errors and our ills himself. I'm not defending that standpoint. I have no fear, if fear is a word, of such activities in themselves from the so-called outside. But I do doubt the efficacy of some of them. I'm not here to debate the civil rights proposal. There may be questions on it now, the civil afterwards, but the civil rights program, it seems to me, errs in that it hits or seeks to eradicate the results of racial antipathies rather than at the causes. I know that on both sides of that controversy, too much has been charged in behalf of and against that bill, that series of bills known as the Civil Rights Program. I doubt that it will either achieve anything like the good that its proponents ask, and I know that it will not cause the harm or the danger or the rest that some of our Southern spokesmen seem to think it will as they speak to the nation. And not as a question of substitution, but on this basis of striking at the causes rather than the results of antipathies, I would ask whether other measures now proposed won't do far, far greater good than this program. For if we admit that the causes, the general causes of antipathies among people are most often economic and thereby arising from poverty, ignorance that is not confined to the poor, incidentally, through numerical pressures and cultural lags, would not, for example, a broader public health program that would strike at one of the roots of our differences, would not that do more good, even save more lives in an hour in the South than an anti-lynch bill, to which I do not object, but whose success I doubt, than it would save in 10 years at the present rate of lynchings in the South? Would not strong and honest union activity throughout the South and a land use resettlement and conservation program on a far greater scale than now, would that not provide greater productivity for submerged peoples than would an FEPC, for example? Would not a federal aid to education program do more to actually creating good citizenship in the real meaning of the word than simply a federal bill which would repeal in federal elections only the poll tax, a stupid tax that only exists in 7 southern states? And lastly, would not a real and meaningful slum clearance program throughout this country, not only here but in Chicago, add far more to the dignity and self-respect than a general bill which seeks to implement the ending of segregation on public conveyances in interstate business. But I'm not arguing those points. I'm not attacking the one. I'm simply saying that as a starter, if you want to start in the South, though I think the guilty areas elsewhere, that these would have more results for good than the civil rights program about which so many people have become so emotionally aroused. But I don't want to argue that point. I want to talk instead of this hidden South that is obscured behind the turmoil and the headlines. It's a place in which a real and deep social change, a change in attitudes, particularly in racial attitudes, is taking place. I don't mean that the old prejudice, the old discriminations are gone, or that they are likely to disappear with or without new laws in the ascertainable future. But there is today a greater sense of responsibility, perhaps a sense of past guilt, and certainly many indications that at least an enlightened self-interest is at work among us. In the main down there, this change of attitude is manifest in a growing public and individual and organized group concern with the health, the education, the income, and the suffrage of the Southern Negro. The largest group in the South who are interested in the Negro's full citizenship are primarily concerned with this largely economic development. Partly, of course, because we are coming to realize, those who haven't realized it in the past, that the Negro's earning power, his health, his legal rights, and so on, have a direct and provable relationship to our own. A smaller group is as concerned with the Negro's achievement of his political rights. That hasn't extended yet, that readiness, complete willingness to admit full suffrage to all our people, to the mass of Southern whites. But this much is true. There is no longer the readiness to resort to violence or to subterfuge, and it came in many of our states before Supreme Court decisions to prevent the Negro from voting. He is voting even in Mississippi, which would be the most difficult state for a number of reasons to attain that goal. There was no violence this summer, none last summer and fall, none for the past three elections, in which each time ever increasing numbers did vote. I think that this might lead, incidentally, to the two-party system in the South, a thing that we need. And that will be good if it becomes really two parties in which people can make their choice. If it becomes two-party on a racial division, it will not be good. I think that two-party system is coming. As a matter of fact, I probably shouldn't say this, but I tried to do what I could last summer to hasten it. I believe we needed two parties down there, and for the first time and probably the last time in my life, I went Republican. My paper did. It wasn't a good time, as you know, to do that. But I believe the time is coming there. Those are goals toward which Southerners are working. There are other goals, another goal, I should say, which has as yet no support, organized or unorganized, among the majority of the Southern people. That may come in time, but today there is no support yet for the abolition of segregation of the races at the levels of mass public contact. I don't think that it is a primary goal among the Negro leadership of the South on simply practical grounds, if none other, because the Negroes who have chosen to remain in the South and work with their people are vastly more concerned now with economic improvement, equal pay, schools, medical care, and so on, and the vote, and not with what might be called a second or a third step that lies in the distant future. Perhaps if someday in Mississippi and in the South at large, the relative numerical relationship between the races is the same as that in the nation at large, namely 10-1, this reluctance to end mass level segregation will disappear. But the pressure of numbers of dissimilar people, dissimilar in race and religion and even nationalities, has up to the present stage in human history been a tragically strong factor. And so it is today in the South that still numbers 35% Negro. In my state, 49%. In my county, 72%. In my town, 55%. There is no great effort on the part of either race to seek an end to segregation as a primary and immediate objective. It seems to a great many of us down there that the most important thing is to change first that person against whom segregation is exercised. Change him by fighting, as many are fighting, for his economic, educational, suffrage, and health improvement, his constitutional rights as a citizen. A matter, again, of putting first things first. And that is being done in this hidden South of ours down there. There are many groups and individuals, some more advanced and militant than others, who are making this fight all along the line. There are some very curious allies in these groups. The women, for instance, of the Methodist Church in church organizations, doing an amazing, continuous job of fighting discrimination between races. And the Catholic Church in the South, on the other hand, equally active in that field. On the one hand, the CIO, particularly as it's going about organizing unorganized workers in the South, and on the other hand, conservative planters who in their own self-interest have come to believe that there must be equality there. Student groups, including the YMCA and YWCA, of course, our educators, many of our editors, younger ministers, such organizations as the Southern Regional Council, a biracial organization which exists throughout the South. There are many of these, and I could spend a lot of time talking about their efforts, biracially and otherwise, to hasten these recognizable changes. And I believe that this is true, that there are more people in the South today, proportionate to our numbers, who are actively concerned with this field of human relationship than they are anywhere else in the country. Among a good many theorists, and particularly among those who live beyond our borders, these groups are frequently criticized because of the so-called limited nature of their objectives. They have names for all these attitudes. They are dismissed as gradualists, which is one word to describe approach to racial tolerance or racial improvement. I'm frank to say that not many of us care about these labels one way or other. We can't afford to let them bother us, because if we can and do take the criticism of those of our fellow Southerners who want no change, we can take it from the outside. And as a middle of the roader, I suppose I am a optimist. I still believe I'm enough of a realist to think that we should concentrate our enthusiasms upon the presently possible in that area in which I live, and perhaps leave to others outside to concentrate their more theoretical enthusiasms upon things not yet attainable in fact. And so we're working on that business of present possibles down there in our race relations and overall in our general economic advancement. But it does have difficulties, which again are not a matter of theory. The members of the two races who live in the largest numbers side by side in the South have had to overcome and still are having to overcome pronounced antipathies and antagonisms to each other. I can't believe that many Negroes in the South, as groups, love, in quotation marks, or admire the white people